may be seated, and as you're getting seated, I invite you to open your Bible with me to Colossians chapter 2. This morning, we are starting a new sermon series. We are taking a pause for a few weeks from our sermon series on the Gospel of John, and we are starting a new series called Five Things Every Christian Needs to Grow. And I'm excited about this series because it's not just a sermon series, it's also a small group series where during this 6 weeks of this series, we are going to have several different small group Bible studies that are meeting to participate in a study that goes right along with the sermons each week. You'll see a table set up out there that has information about all the various small groups, including the book that we're giving away, as well as the study guides for the small groups. And I invite you to take a look at that today and see if there's a group that might fit with your schedule. Take advantage of this as a great opportunity. One little thing I want to mention, there's a new group out there that you can sign up for that we didn't have the last couple of Sundays. It's a men's group that's going to meet on Tuesday mornings. And the hope is that this might be an opportunity for some of you men who might work during the day but want to try to do a Bible study before you head to work. So the plan is Dave DeVries is going to be leading this. It's going to be Tuesday mornings, 6:30 to 7:30. The idea being that hopefully you could take part in that before you head out to work. They're going to meet at Mama D's. And those of you who are participate, the time might be adjusted a little bit depending on the schedules of those who are going to participate in the group. They might change the time a little bit. We'll see during the first week. But so I encourage you men out there. That's a great opportunity for a men's group. But there's several other, I think there's like six other groups out there that are meeting at different times. We've got three different groups meeting on Wednesday evenings here. We've got some groups that meet on Sunday. We've got a Thursday morning group. There's lots of opportunities. So take advantage of that. And it's going to be a wonderful opportunity as we start this series. I also encourage you, if you're a parent of someone in high school or middle school, and you're going to have kids participating in either the Sunday evening or the Wednesday evening youth groups, we have small groups happening during both of those times. We have a Sunday evening small group that happens right alongside the youth group that's meeting. We have Wednesday groups that meet at the same time as the Wednesday youth group that's meeting. So parents, talking to you, no excuses. We've got something for everybody, and we want you to take advantage of this opportunity. So we're going to start this series this morning. This morning I'm going to give somewhat of an introductory message to this series, and then the next 5 weeks we'll look at the five things. But today we're going to have a kind of an introduction to this series, and I'm going to read just two short verses from Colossians chapter 2. Hear now the word of the Lord. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to embark on this new series. And Lord, we want to experience spiritual growth in our lives. And so we pray that you would use this series as a means by which we can understand more clearly what it is that we need to grow. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would bear that fruit and produce fruit in our lives as we walk alongside one another in these next several weeks. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I'm not somebody who could ever claim to have a green thumb. I don't know if you are somebody with a green thumb. I'm just not one of those people. Some people have a knack for planting things and growing things. I have a knack for killing anything that I put in the ground. It just dies. That's why basically everything in our yard is a perennial, because I like stuff that just comes back year after year and that you don't have to do much with, right? Some of you can relate to that. Now, I don't have a green thumb, but I decided this year we were going to try to plant some vegetables in the backyard. So we planted a few tomato plants. We planted some peppers, and they actually did pretty well. I'm proud to report. They did pretty well. I think it had something to do with how hot the summer was. They liked that heat. And we ended up with a pretty good batch of some tomatoes and peppers. I will admit, however, that because I'm an amateur, and I basically have no clue what I'm doing, I consulted Google a lot. I was on Google saying, you know, okay, well, what do I do in this circumstance? You know, I saw, okay, all of a sudden the tomato plants kind of look like they're getting yellow toward the bottom, and I started Googling it, and apparently one possibility was that the nutrients in the soil weren't quite right, and so maybe it needed some fertilizer or something. I was Googling at one point because all of a sudden some of my tomatoes started splitting, and I was thinking, what's going on with this? So I consulted Google, and apparently if there's too many fluctuations in the water, the tomatoes can start splitting. And then I began thinking to myself, maybe I should just leave this up to the experts and get my tomatoes at the grocery store, you know? This seems like way more work than it is worth. But as I did this, it reminded me that plants don't just grow by themselves. I mean, you might think, well, yeah, they do grow by themselves. No, they don't grow by themselves. There are a number of things that they need in order to grow. They need sunlight. They need water. They need nutrients. They need good soil. They need certain things to be healthy and grow. And the same thing is true in our spiritual lives. There are things, according to Scripture, that every Christian needs if we are going to be healthy and grow. God's will is for every Christian to grow. That is His will for our lives. Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." It is God's will for us to grow. Jesus didn't just save us from something, He saved us for something. He didn't just save us from our sin, He saved us for a new life of growth in holiness and becoming more like Him. The question is, what is it that we need if we are going to grow spiritually? That's what we're going to explore in this series. What do we need if we're going to grow as Christians? And in this first message, I want to just set the stage by looking at these two verses in Colossians, which give us some wonderful little principles for spiritual growth as Christians. The British minister Dick Lucas observed that there are kind of three principles here that we can take for our spiritual growth. And the first one is this. What you see here, Paul says, is as you received, so walk. As you received, so walk. Verse 6 says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Paul is addressing those who have received Jesus. So the first question we could ask is, well, what does it mean to receive Jesus? If he's speaking to those who've received Jesus, what does it mean to receive Jesus? Well, we could say a few things about that. First of all, receiving Jesus means, at a basic level, receiving the truth about Jesus. The gospel is this message of truth about who Jesus is and what He has done. And receiving Him means receiving that truth and believing that truth. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." What did he receive? That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. So you see, receiving Christ, receiving Jesus is first of all receiving the truth about Jesus. But that's not all it is. Receiving Jesus also means receiving Jesus Himself. Not just some truth about Him, but receiving Him as a person. John 1 says, "He," that is Jesus, "came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." See, ultimately, becoming a Christian is not just about receiving some truth about Jesus. It's about receiving Jesus Himself as a person. It's not just about believing that Jesus died. It's about believing that He died for me. It's not just about believing that Jesus forgives sins. It's about believing that He has forgiven my sins and trusting in Him as a person. So to receive Jesus means to receive the truth about Him. It means to receive Jesus Himself. But there's one other thing I want to say. As Paul talks about those who have received Jesus, receiving Jesus means receiving Him not just as Savior, but also as Lord. Notice that Paul says in verse 6, if you look back at your Bible, he says, "As you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord." You know, we talk a lot about Jesus as Savior, but did you know that the word Lord is applied to Him far more often in the Scriptures? oftentimes in contemporary Christianity, you hear Christians talk a lot about receiving Jesus as Savior, but not as much about receiving him as Lord. And to receive Jesus as Lord means to make him master of my life. Dick Lucas writes these words. He says, "True conversion implies the right of Christ to rule and therefore to determine the shape and character of what in his eyes is worthy and consistent living. His pleasure is first to be consulted. The Christian therefore comes to any and every situation willingly recognizing that the writ of Christ's authority runs there." To receive Jesus means not just to receive him as Savior, but to receive him as Lord, master of my life. If I haven't received him as Lord, I haven't really received him at all. So Paul is speaking in this passage to those who have received Jesus. He says, just as you have received Jesus, what? So walk in him. Walk in him. You know, what that should tell us is that receiving Christ is not the finish line of the Christian faith. It's the starting line. I always tell this to our confirmation students when they go through confirmation class, and sometimes we have this idea that somehow receiving Christ is the finish line of faith. In contemporary evangelical culture, even sometimes we promote this by trying to encourage people to receive Jesus, and then we sort of treat that as, okay, now you've reached the finish line, everything's great. But that's really not the finish line. That's the starting line of the journey of faith. He says, just as you've received Jesus the Lord, so what? Now walk in him. Live in him. Paul says in the previous chapter of Colossians, in chapter 1, verse 10, he prays that the Colossians would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Those of us who have received Jesus the Lord are called to what? Now walk in him. Live in him. According to Scripture, it's not enough to talk the talk of discipleship. We need to walk the walk of discipleship. So this is the first principle Paul gives. As you have received, so walk. Now, second, he says, as you are rooted, be built up. As you are rooted, be built up. Verse 7, he says, rooted and built up in him. Now, you're going to have to forgive me for a minute because I'm going to just geek out here for a minute and do a little grammar illustration, okay? Those of you who maybe were English majors or just grammar nerds, you're going to love this. Paul, in this sentence, you wouldn't see it just from the ESV, but he uses he uses a perfect participle and then a present participle back to back, and it's not really reflected there. Now, I just lost 99% of you, because if you're like me, you've forgotten all of this stuff, and I had to remind myself. So a perfect participle, it's a completed action in the past that has continuing results in the present. The present participles, it's an ongoing present action. So just so I don't lose you here, I'm going to give you a few examples, okay? Here's a perfect participle plus present participle back to back. Number one, having become a parent of young children, I am now trying to locate my sanity. Let's just do a little show of hands. Anyone can ever relate to that at any point in your life, okay? Number two, having eaten way too much frozen custard, I am now lying on the couch with a stomach ache. How many can relate to that one? We got a lot of dishonest people in the room here. Last one here, having driven in rush hour traffic, I am now recovering from road rage. How many can relate to that? A few more hands went up that time. I'm not saying I picked these three because I personally can relate to them, but, you know, maybe not. So these are examples of perfect participles followed by present participles. Paul actually does the same thing in this passage. The word rooted is a perfect participle. The word built up is a present participle. So what he's saying is, having been rooted, since you've been rooted in the past, if you're a Christian, you've been rooted in Christ already, that has continuing implications for your present life. Having been rooted, now be built up. This is the only translation that really captures this, is the NASB. It says this, Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him. Now, Paul kind of mixes metaphors there because he uses really two metaphors to give us this principle of growth. The first is this plant metaphor. He uses the metaphor and the image of a plant. And the idea here is that believers are rooted in Christ, just like a plant is rooted in the ground. Believers are in Christ. And he is the source of our life and our salvation. This is why Jesus says in John 15, I'm the vine, you are the branches. We're connected to Christ. We're rooted in Christ. And that is how we have growth. It's a reminder that sanctification cannot take place without being first united in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Growth in the Christian life is not about, oh, here are some principles. Now just try really hard and you'll grow. That implies that it comes from my strength. And in the Christian life is not that way. The way in which we grow is by nature of the fact that we're rooted in Christ, we're connected to him, and he's the source of our life. He's the source of our growth. We can only grow if we are rooted and connected with him. And a healthy Christian, Scripture says, who is rooted in Christ will bear fruit for Christ. And so that brings us to the second metaphor he uses. He uses the metaphor of a building. He says, as you've been rooted, now be built up. You see, as Christians, our foundation rests upon Christ, but the building is still being constructed. We are not yet finished products. We are a construction project that is in progress. And that's why Paul calls us to be built up in Christ. He says the same thing when he speaks to the church in Ephesus, and he says to the elders in Acts 20, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What I want you to see this morning is that it is okay to be a work in progress. Every single Christian is a work in progress, a construction project that is not yet completed. But what Scripture says is that we should all be moving toward the goal that will one day be finished in heaven, and that is that this building that Christ is building in us, figuratively speaking, will one day be completed when we get to the other side. And in this life, it's a process of being built up and moving toward that goal. Paul says, as you have been rooted, be built up in him. And then that brings us to the last thing he says, which is, as you were taught, be established. As you were taught, be established. He says in verse 7, established in the faith just as you were taught. The Christian faith is made up of various truths that we have been taught and that we have received and that we have believed. And these are the truths that were taught by Jesus, that were handed down to us through the apostles. They were given to us and communicated to us through others in our lives. And the idea here is that as time goes on, we should become more and more established in the truth that we have been taught. The Christian faith, growth in Christ, is not about discovering new truths and then discarding the old truths. It is about being more established in the truths that we have been taught and that have been given to us in God's word in the first place. And that's really, really important. You know, just last week, I had a conversation on the phone with an old friend of mine. It was one of the most disheartening conversations I've had in a long time. I was talking with a friend of mine from seminary, and this friend and a few other guys that we were part of a group during that time that would meet weekly for prayer, all of the people in the group were going through seminary at the time, and this friend of mine had recently talked to and reconnected with another friend of ours who was part of that group at the time, who both of us had lost touch with for several years. And I was interested to hear how this particular person was doing, and I was saddened to hear that when my friend talked to this other friend, he found out that this other friend not only had stopped pursuing Christian ministry, but he had left the faith and become an atheist. And the reason that he gave for leaving the faith was that he had discovered new truths in reading various philosophers and psychologists and other books, and he had grown past Christianity. It's one of the most heartbreaking things that I've probably heard this year. Growth in the Christian life is not about growing past the Bible, or growing out of Christianity, or growing past Jesus. If you have moved past Jesus, if you have moved past the Christian faith, that's not growth. That's the opposite of growth. Because what Paul says is that what we have been taught over time, those truths are the things we should become more and more established in as every day goes by. That means that we should grow not only in our understanding, but in our conviction. How does that happen? Well, I think it happens. This is not rocket science, by remaining rooted in God's church and rooted in God's word. We need to be rooted in Christian community and be surrounded by others who can spur us on and help us continue moving toward the goal. And we need to be rooted in his word so that we can continue learning and continue understanding who he is so that we are not led astray. Paul says, as you have been taught, be established. Now, at the end of these verses, there's one final thing that he says that I don't want to leave off because I think this is a mark of a growing Christian as well. He says this. Listen again to the two verses, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught. And then he says, abounding in thanksgiving. According to Paul, one of the marks of a growing Christian should be abounding in thanksgiving. I like these words from Dick Lucas. He writes, "To be bursting with thankfulness is a true witness of the Spirit within us, for the voice of thanksgiving speaks without ceasing of the goodness of God. It claims nothing. It sees no merit in our receiving, but only in God's giving. It marvels at his mercy. It is the language of joy, just because it need look no longer at its own resources. It is an expression of dependence on another." We are dependent upon God for everything, and that includes our sanctification and growth in Christ. Sanctification is not the cause of our salvation. It's the effect of our salvation. We don't earn God's favor and his salvation by living a perfect life. No, we have received his grace as a gift, and therefore now we follow him out of thanksgiving and gratitude for what he has done. And by the power of his Holy Spirit at work within us, he produces fruit to make us more and more like Jesus. It is God's will for every Christian to grow. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at five things that every Christian needs to grow. These are not the only five things that are important in the Christian life. I want to make that very clear. These are not the only five things that we need. They're just five big ones that we could look at in Scripture that are important. And I hope that you will take this opportunity in this series to grow in your faith, to make a commitment to be here every Sunday as we go through this series, and to join one of those small groups so that you can go deeper into these topics that we're going to look at every single week. May it be true that just as we have received Jesus, we would walk in him. And may it be true that just as we have been rooted in Jesus, we would be built up in him. May it be true that just as we have been taught, we would be established. And may it be true that we would be people who are overflowing and abounding in thanksgiving. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look at your word with a specific intent, Lord, and that is to ask and to see what you have to say about what we need to grow. So Lord, we know that growth is not something we can produce and bring about, but it is that which you produce and bring about. But you've given us means by which you do that. And so help us to make diligent use of those means, Lord, And we pray that you would do great things in our hearts and in our lives as we continue this journey together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.